China's government also came off as something of a heavy at this month's Global Warming Summit in Copenhagen. The 193 nations at the conference failed to reach a legally binding accord, and some are blaming China. One of them is British environmental activist Mark Lynas. He was an advisor to the Maldives government at the climate change summit. Lynas wrote an article in today's London Guardian newspaper about what he saw there. It's called, "How Do I Know China Wrecked the Copenhagen Deal? I Was in the Room."
What I saw was the Chinese delegate, which was not the Premier Wen Jinbao, but the delegate who was acting on behalf of China in that heads of state meeting, arguing and insisting that all of the major meaningful targets, so the numerical targets, be taken out of the text. In particular, that the target for industrialized country emission reductions, so what rich countries like the US and European countries should do, also be removed. So the fact that the 80% cut by 2050 is not in there came down to the insistence of China.
Now, you were there in this room with just 50 to 60 people, including the heads of state, and you were representing the government of the Maldives. There were several people, I think, from the West representing smaller governments. Is that kind of your role there?
I have been the advisor on climate change to President Nasheed of the Maldives. He was in there negotiating with the other heads of state. I should say for the record that my impressions and should not be confused with Maldives government policy. What I say is entirely at my own behest.
Now, I found really interesting in your Guardian piece the way you described the actual physical setup in the negotiating room and who, in fact, was there and where they were sitting. Describe the scene and why you think it was all, each of these little components were kind of critically important.
Well, it was a square table, essentially, with President Obama on one side. Opposite him was Kevin Rudd, who's Prime Minister of Australia. Between them was the Ethiopian president, the Danish prime minister, who was chairing the whole thing, and Ban Ki-moon, who's Secretary General of the United Nations. Presidents from Mexico, Angela Merkel from Germany, Sarkozy from France, Gordon Brown from the UK, India, Saudi Arabia, a few other countries. In total, I think it was about 25 countries represented.
And the Chinese are represented there, but it's Wen Jinbao, despite all these other heads of state in the room, right?
No, it wasn't Wen Jinbao. I didn't set eyes on him. To my knowledge, he was having sort of bilateral, so other heads of state would have to go and meet him separately. So he was sort of holding court in a nearby hotel. And this, I think, was interpreted by everybody as a diplomatic humiliation for President Obama, that he was forced to sit opposite a sort of mid-level official who, in fact, did say, "I'm just a civil servant," and every time anything difficult came up, he had to go and talk to his superiors and make various phone calls, and all of the other heads of state had to sort of sit there tapping their fingers on the table waiting for him to come back.
I mean, and yet in the lead-up to Copenhagen, the big drumbeat about the world uniting seemed to be pretty positive, and the Chinese are actually making great strides in renewable green energy is what we've been hearing. So why would the Chinese do this?
Yes, I think we should acknowledge that China is a leader in many areas, particularly in wind and in solar power. And I think China takes its own local pollution problems very seriously. But the point is that the Chinese leadership will not accept any limits on its own growth, and its growth is based mainly on coal. I mean, the Chinese economy doubles every 10 years, as does its presence and its political power on the world stage. So I don't think they want to meddle with that formula, and I don't think global warming is sufficiently high up their agenda that they're prepared to decarbonize or even to envisage decarbonizing at this stage.
If what you saw was the Chinese setting up the Copenhagen talks for failure, why then are a lot of people pointing fingers at Barack Obama? I mean, when you were in the room there, did you think you saw leadership coming from Barack Obama?
Absolutely. Not just from Barack Obama, but from Gordon Brown and from Kevin Rudd in particular and Angela Merkel of Germany. I mean, you just form impressions. And my impression was that they were desperate for a deal. They did not want to walk out of there empty-handed. And they were desperate for a deal, actually, which was meaningful and which would do something to reduce emissions and would actually have some significance globally. And they were faced with, not just one country, because India was sort of trying to block as well, but they were faced with the major developing countries saying, "We won't accept this." And that put them in a very difficult position.
Mark, final question. I mean, these were closed-door meetings in Copenhagen. Why did you come out publicly with what amounts to a leak and something that could threaten the candor and success of future talks?
With great reluctance. I've spent days thinking about this and days worrying about whether I should say it and what the implications would be. But I just felt that I couldn't sit there in possession of this knowledge and not. I mean, you can leak it, but that doesn't really have much significance because everyone's leaking everything and no one's to know who's telling the truth. But I thought, well, of all the people who are in the room, I was probably the only one in a position actually to come out publicly. So that's what I've done, and I'm prepared to face whatever repercussions come. But I did think it was important to get the truth out there as I saw it.
Mark Linus in Oxford, UK. He wrote the article in today's Guardian newspaper, "How Do I Know China Wrecked the Copenhagen Deal? I Was in the Room." Thanks very much, Mark. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.